come this evening to look at wise words, and thinking in particular of wise words for husbands and wives. Proverbs gives us divinely inspired wisdom for how husbands and wives should live together. There is a way that we are to be godly in our marriages. There is a way in which we are to live godly lives with one another. And of course, the opposite is true. There are ways that we should not behave. There are actions that we should not do. There are words and attitudes that are harmful to marriages. And here in the book of Proverbs, we have the very wisdom of God on how we are to be husbands and wives. But maybe you're not married this evening. Does that mean this sermon isn't for you? Can you just switch off tonight? Well, no. And I want to give two reasons why. Firstly, for some of you, there could come a day when you do get married. And it's important for you to know what to look for in a godly wife or a godly husband. It's important that you know what a godly husband and wife should be. It's important that you know that because someday, if you're going to be married, you will have to be a godly wife or a godly husband. You want to be something worth choosing. And so for young people, I want you to remember that as you grow up, whether you become married or not, be something worth choosing. If you're looking for a wife or a husband, or you want to be a wife or a husband, Proverbs tells us what we should look for above all else. So Proverbs gives that sort of reason. The second reason why these Proverbs are for everyone is because they point to a greater marriage. Marriage here on earth is a picture of something that has been done for all believers. If you're a Christian, you are now in Christ. And He is the perfect husband. And we are the lovely bride. And in Christ, we are to be prudent wives, as Proverbs describes us. The church is to be a prudent wife. We are to be, as we'll see later on, the crown of Christ. We are to display His glory. We are to be people of noble character. Here are Proverbs for the church, for every believer. And this is immensely important. Sometimes for those who are not married, they can feel as though they are left out, or second-class citizens somehow in the kingdom of Christ. That simply is not true. Being in Christ means that we are united to Him. And being in Christ means that we have someone who loves us more than any husband or wife ever could love us. We have someone who is completely faithful to us, even when we are stubborn, even when we are unfaithful to Him. We have someone who is our perfect satisfaction and comfort in this life, even when we can be nagging and complaining, a little bit like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Here in Proverbs, we have wise words for husbands and wives, and we're going to see that they are wise words for all of us, married or not yet married, widowed or single. Here are words that point us ultimately to Christ. And I want to again come to a key verse in Proverbs, a verse on which we can hang the various parts of this topic. And we find it in Proverbs 19, verse 14. So open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. And it's the second half of this verse. A prudent wife is from the Lord. That's what I want you to go away with this evening. That a prudent wife is from the Lord. This evening I'm going to be putting it to you as we look at other proverbs and other parts of Scripture, that a prudent husband is also from the Lord. Proverbs tells us that there is a characteristic that we are to display. And it tells us that there is a God who provides. And it lets us know that all of this then points us to the Lord Himself. Here in this verse we have wise words for husbands and wives. So firstly, this characteristic. We see firstly, you're to be prudent in the Lord. So these wise words are telling us that we are to be prudent in the Lord. The word prudent, it means the person who can make right decisions based on the knowledge that they have. Someone who can think ahead. They can see the consequences of the decisions that they're making. Simply put, they are wise. And so we're told that when we are seeking for a husband or a wife, the characteristic that we are to look for is one who is prudent. Look for someone who is wise. What should we look for in a spouse? What type of characteristics does this prudent person display? Here are some words from a Methodist minister. His name was George Hudson, and he wrote a book in 1882 called The Marriage Guide for Young Men. So, young men, here's some words of wisdom for you if you're looking for a wife. Choose your wife, a woman with good round limbs, as well as a good, large, well-proportioned head. One who can run and walk and lift a good load. What if her waist be a little large and her hands too? This is a good fault in a woman who is to become a mother. It says, find a woman who is a good hard worker. And then he also says, find someone who can cook or learn to cook. You will find many who say they can learn. You may be inclined to try one of them. But suppose she should not learn. It is running considerable risk. Think of that fearful period of learning, during which your stomach must be made the receptacle of all sorts of messes, and your home remain in a chaotic state. You may die of dyspepsia or go mad before she succeeds. We laugh at it. It is funny in many ways, but fortunately Proverbs gives us the characteristics that we should be looking for. We find the characteristics of the wise woman, of the prudent woman in Proverbs chapter 31. We read from it earlier. And here is the archetypal prudent woman. She is a woman who works hard. She is a woman who cooks. Now, many women, when they read this list, perhaps feel a sense of failure. They read it and they realize that they fall short of this truly remarkable woman. How can she do all of that? But we have to realize that Proverbs 31, it isn't a tick box exercise. It isn't a checklist of what makes a prudent wife. But these are the kind of things that a prudent wife does. That these are the kind of things that a wise woman is involved in. And here we see that the prudent wife in the Lord, she's productive. She uses the talents that God has given her. She uses them wisely. There's good stewardship of money and possessions. She's a woman who's compassionate and caring to others. This is the noble character. This is the wisdom that comes in a prudent wife. She is someone who submits to her husband. Paul writes that in Ephesians 5, verse 24. He's not saying that a wife is a slave to her husband. She's not saying that a wife is to be oppressed by her husband. But he is saying, as you are married to him, submit to him, just as the church submits to Christ. Being prudent in the Lord, it means to use your gifts. It means to be a good steward of your possessions. Be compassionate and caring. To be submissive to your husband. But most of all, the prudent woman, the noble woman, above all these things, she is someone who fears the Lord. Verse 30 of Proverbs 31. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so I would say to wives, to young ladies who will perhaps one day be married, to young men who are looking for a wife, here is one who is prudent in the Lord. These should be the main characteristics that we look for. This is the standard to set yourselves. Aim to be prudent in the Lord. Aim to be of noble character. This should be true of all Christian women. Use your talents and your gifts as God has given them to you. Be good stewards of the things that God has given. Show that compassion and caring to others. Be submissive in Christ. But above all, fear the Lord. Make sure that you are walking in Christ. Be prudent in the Lord. The same is true for Christian husbands and all Christian men. We are to be prudent in the Lord. We are to show wisdom in how we live our lives. And Proverbs gives us some characteristics for prudent husbands. We are to be faithful to our wives. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 to 19. Proverbs 5, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Solomon here isn't writing about irrigation systems or sanitation systems. This passage is referring to keeping yourself for your wife. He's saying, don't run off looking for pleasure or love elsewhere. We are to find our enjoyment, for those of us who are married, find our enjoyment in our wives. Verse 18, rejoice in the wife of your youth. The end of verse 19, be intoxicated always in her love. If we are to be prudent husbands in the Lord, or for any Christian man, if we are to be prudent in the Lord, we are to be faithful. We're to avoid sin. We're to be like Joseph in Genesis when Potiphar's wife came along. We are to flee from temptation. Flee from those things that distract us from our wives. That means turning off the TV, then do that. turning off the internet, avoiding that person at work. Man, whatever it takes to be faithful, do it. Proverbs warns us time and time again about the forbidden woman. She is to be avoided at all costs. Be faithful. Scripture unfolds for us further qualities for the prudent husband, for a husband in the Lord, or any characteristic for men who want to be godly. Proverbs 31 verse 28. Praise your wife. Men, and I speak to myself also, how often do we praise our wives before others? There's something that I don't like, and that is jokes about marriage that run marriage down, or when men speak of their wives in demeaning ways to other men as a joke. There's something that's repulsive about that. Proverbs tells us we are to praise our wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. Be respectful. Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. Be understanding with your wife. Colossians 3, verse 19. Be gentle. Husbands, love your wives. And do not be harsh with them. A prudent man is a gentle man. Ephesians 5, verse 23 to 25. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Men and boys, we are to be like Christ. All Christian men should strive for this, whether married or not married. If we are prudent in the Lord, then we will be striving to be Christ-like. And then as a church, as Christ's bride, as Christ's people, all of us, we must ask ourselves, am I prudent in the Lord? Am I growing in Christ-likeness? Am I showing wisdom in my relationships with others? Am I using the gifts that God has given to me? Am I showing that compassion and care? Am I a good steward of God's provisions? Am I faithful? Am I a prudent husband or wife? Am I a prudent church member? As one who is united with Christ, you are to be prudent in the Lord. Then secondly, we see here in this key verse that we are using, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Secondly, you are provided by the Lord. You are provided by the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Look at the context of Proverbs chapter 19. So have your Bibles open in Proverbs 19. Verse 14 falls into a section that is about wealth. It's about generosity. And it's about provision, giving, or the lack of giving at times. The first part of verse 14 tells us that parents can give us good things. They can give us an inheritance. They can give us money and possessions. But there's something that parents can't give. There's something that God provides. And here we are told that God provides a good wife, or as we'll be thinking, also a good husband. Money and wealth are not the most prized possessions. But a good wife is. I want to explain this by looking at some of the negatives or the warnings that Proverbs gives about wives who are less than prudent. Go back to verse 13 of chapter 19 here. A foolish son is ruin to his father, And a wife's quarrelling is a continual dripping of rain. Constant bickering. Constant complaining. Constant giving off. Constant refusal to submit. It's like a house with a leaky roof. The rain continually drips in. And eventually it damages the house. It brings with it rot and decay. Proverbs 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. A wife who isn't discerning. A wife who's shameful and foolish. A wife who does silly things. A wife who doesn't make Christ her first priority. We're told that she brings decay and destruction to the very bones of her husband. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. It's better to be stuck outside in the corner of the roof than it is to be stuck in a house with a wife who's quarrelsome. A home can be an awful place where there is decay and rottenness. Proverbs is saying it's better not to have a house at all than to have a foolish wife. Money and wealth aren't the most important things. For those who are married, you have been provided by the Lord for your husband or wife. The purpose of that provision is not to bring decay and rottenness to that person. The purpose isn't to bring shame and disgrace to that person. Instead, we are to be a crown. Proverbs 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. We are to bring honor to that person. This is what God provides for us in marriage. In marriage, he provides someone to encourage you, someone to build you up, someone to strengthen you, someone to equip you more fully in walking with Christ. You have been provided for the other person. The Lord has provided you for them. What a feeling of worth that gives to us. When we realize we are provided to build someone else up, to encourage them, to be a crown, to honor them, raise them up, we have been provided. Well, does this not leave out those who are not married? Well, of course not. Let's remind ourselves again, who are we in Christ? We are his bride, the church. We are united with the one who loves us more than any other. And what should we be like in this relationship? Should we complain? Should we moan? Should we be like a constant dripping on a rainy day? No. Instead, we have been provided by the Lord. He has chosen us. And he has brought us into his kingdom. And he has done that so that we might be the crown of Christ. That is, that the world might look at us and see something of the beauty and the dignity and the royalty of Christ. We have been chosen. We have been provided that we may bring Christ glory here on earth. And that as the world sees us, and as they look at us, and as we speak to them, that we might bring Christ honor. And we submit to Him in willing submission, so that the world will see that He is the glorious Savior, that He's the one who is worthy of our worship. But what a privileged place we have. We have been provided from the Lord. If you're not married, and you have a sense that in some way people look down on you, or a sense that maybe you're not worth anything in the kingdom, you're worth less than those who are married, I would say to you, no. Not at all. Not in any stretch of the imagination. Your sense of worth is found in Christ. And you have been chosen in Christ. And you have been provided by the Lord. In Christ, you can be a prudent man or woman, provided by the Lord. We are provided by the Lord. And our marriages, for those who are married, our marriages are to reflect that truth. We are prudent in the Lord. We're provided by the Lord. Then thirdly and finally, you are to point to the Lord. You are to point to the Lord, and specifically, we are to point to Christ. Our marriages are to point to Christ. This is what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 5. He's speaking of this wonderful mystery, the relationship of a husband and a wife. And he's saying the remarkable thing is that this is a picture of Christ's relationship to us. And friends, we are to be continually pointing one another to Christ. When we are being a prudent wife or husband from the Lord, we are pointing to the Lord, and we are saying, this is what the Lord has done for us. This is what Christ has done for us. When we are being prudent. But we know there are many times when we fail. There are lots of times when we don't measure up to being a prudent wife or husband. There are many times as Christians, as Christ's people, when we fail Christ our Savior. There are many times when we are not faithful to Him. Many times when we have been that constant dripping. Times when we have cheated on Christ by running away to different things. In all of that mess, in not measuring up to being the prudent wife or husband, man or woman, boy or girl, from the Lord, how can we point to Christ? I want to take you to a town. A town is called Sychar or Sychar. A woman is there. There's a well in this town. And she's gone in the middle of the day to draw some water from this well. Her life is a mess. She's been married several times. The marriages have collapsed. She's been unfaithful. She's currently living with someone who isn't even her husband. Her life is a mess. There's no way she could ever be described as being a prudent wife. Far from it. But at that well, she meets someone. And this person changed her life. It was Jesus Christ. She went to the well thirsty, the woman of Samaria, the town of Sychar. And she left the well full. She went to the well, and her life and her marriage were in a mess. And she left satisfied and complete. She was filled with a new focus. She had placed her faith and trust in Christ Jesus. Her sins were forgiven her. Another woman, this woman had cheated on her husband. She was about to be stoned to death. The men were lifting up the stones, ready to throw them at the woman. But Jesus spoke. And he said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." What did the people do? They set their stones down. They left. They went away. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. He was the only one who could judge her because he had no sin. He was the only one with any right who could say to that woman, "What you have done is wrong. You've made a mess of your life and your marriage, and I judge you." He is the only one who could do that. But what did he say? "Neither do I condemn you. From now on, go and sin no more." She was saved through Christ. Friends, there are times when we fail as husbands and wives. Times when we fail as Christ's people, seeking to be prudent, seeking to live for him, to be faithful to him and bring him glory. We make a mess. From our side of things, we make a mess of that marriage relationship with Christ. We make a mess of relationships here on earth. But in Christ, there is forgiveness. And only in Christ is there forgiveness. And our marriages should reflect that. For those of you who are married, in your marriages there should be a lot of forgiveness. And in being forgiven, we are continually pointing one another to Christ. Pointing one another to the one through whom there is complete forgiveness. Remind yourselves often of how he forgives his bride. Our forgiveness of one another will point us to Christ. Our forgiveness of one another will point us to Christ. And that's not just within marriage, but that's as Christ's people, as Christ's bride, as his chosen ones, his loved ones, those who have been provided within his kingdom. Proverbs gives us divinely inspired wisdom for how husbands and wives should live together. And these are proverbs for everyone because they point us to the greater marriage. And Christ is that perfect husband. We are the bride. Perhaps this evening you are separated and isolated from Christ. I'm going to say single, and I don't mean for Christian single people, because in Christ you're united to Christ. But if you're not a Christian, in many ways you're like one who is far off. You're one whose life is in a mess. But there is a perfect husband, one who shows perfect love. He is the one that we are to submit to and turn to. And in him, there is forgiveness. And so I would say to you this evening, if that is you, if you're one who is outside of Christ, come to Him. Confess to Him your sin. You will see that He is a gracious Savior. He is one who says, go. From now on, sin no more. In Christ you will find the one who is perfectly lovely in every way. The perfect husband for the bride. We are to be prudent in our marriages and in our relationships that we may reflect the love of Christ. Amen.